Now, I don't see any reason why we couldn't all put our videos on. And if you'd like to testify, use the electronic raise the hand. If for some reason that's not possible, try putting your hand up that way. And if it's on my screen, I can recognize you. And if that won't work, then just speak up. And so I'll just to get this started. The scripture on testifying is in Acts 2, verse 40, and I'll start reading with verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them. And I think I saw Sister Andrea Schwartz's hand first.
Yes, thank you, Brother Jim. And thank you, brethren, for this wonderful convention. It's been a beautiful day. Thank you so much. The talks were wonderful, as always. And I would like to praise our Heavenly Father for all his benefits toward all the brethren the world over, that he does everything every single day. Sometimes the things that he does, we don't even know that he does these things for us. And I would like to bring the love of the Phoenix class with the okay of the Phoenix brethren who are here, and take it back to them, please. And I just want to say that I pray for all of you, and God bless, and please pray for Sister Christine and I and all the brethren. And I love you all. Over.
I might add that you are both in my prayers continually, daily. And who would like to be next? We are encouraged to testify. For that, I can read Acts chapter 10. I'll use verse 34 for context and then 40 to 42. And Acts 10:34, and Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And then to verse 40, him God raised up the third day and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but unto witnesses that were chosen before of God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach unto the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And I see Brother Larry's hand up.
Yes, Brother Jim, so wonderful to see all of your smiling faces, the ones I can see. And it's always good to be with our precious brethren who love the truth, love our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I had kind of I was going to take some more time to gather my thoughts, but since there was a lull, and we usually have about, like so many people right at the very end, and then we can't get everybody in, I thought I'd jump in there. So I had this opportunity, Bob Goodman, here in our class, gave me a name of somebody to follow up on when I was living in Clearwater. Of course, we're in Orlando area right now in Longwood. But I followed up and met this elderly lady that seemed quite interested in the scriptures, and I met her at a TJ Fridays or something like that in Clearwater area. And I don't know if I'm coming through okay. Let me turn my volume up. Anyway, so her name was Rose. Her name is Rose Davis. And maybe a few of you have heard me speak who have been on, like Brother Drake and maybe somebody else that knows me. But we had a nice witness opportunity. We had a little lunch together. And And then she subsequently purchased a tome, like 7-in-1 green tome, and which she had been reading on and off throughout the years. And she'd always and I'd always try to stay connected. We enjoyed each other's fellowship. She knew her scriptures really well, really well. She also had a lovely spirit about her, and I really appreciated it. So we kept, dialoguing over the years. So now, excuse me, this is, I don't know, 9 years later, we're still dialoguing, and I didn't think she was, like, really picking up on some things I was saying, but she still loved our fellowship together, and so I kept it going. I didn't know where it was going to go. Well, recently she asked me if I would meet with her group. They have Bible study, and so it's kind of an unusual opportunity. This is a 90. She was in her 80s back then. Now she's 93, and she has a daughter and a son that are there, and there's about, I don't know, maybe 10 people that are in that session, and they meet in a home like we meet, and they have various discussions. And so it's a little far for me to go. Plus, if you've ever driven on I-4 between Orlando and Clearwater or Tampa, you don't do it unless you really know the Lord wants you to go. But since we had Zoom, they offered Zoom like we are here. I took them up on Zoom. So I attended their meeting last 2 Saturdays ago. And it seems to me they're like a Church of God group, but not quite. I don't think totally indoctrinated in it. So in any case, we engaged in a discussion on Israel, lo and behold, right? And so I was able to share with this group of people, and I try to do it cautiously and listen to them and kind of see how their program went and how they did things and so on. But eventually, when there was a lull, just like with the testimony here, I jumped in and offered a few thoughts on Israel. And I also talked about, the Abrahamic seed, the promise of the Abrahamic seed, and the two salvations of, I think it was, I just mentioned the stars of heaven, the sands of the sea. And then we also brought out that that was the gospel in Galatians 6:8. And then somebody towards the end asked something about hell, because I brought up, oh, they were talking about signposts of Christ coming, right? Coming. And so I brought up the signpost that I was aware of in Daniel 12:1, like I did today. And I went through them. And one of the ones said, and many that sleep in the dust shall awake, right? So one of the ladies there was Catholic. And she then at the towards the very end, she had a question because she believed in purgatory. And so we had a chance to teach them a little bit about our idea of hell and the no immortal soul and so on. I thought, what do I have to lose? They could kick me out. I'm just going to tell them the truth. And I told Rose there, I told her, I said, Rose, I said, look, I don't know exactly where your group's coming from, but I don't believe in the Trinity, and I don't believe in hellfire, and I don't believe in immortal soul. If you still want me to come, I'll come. And she still wanted me to come. And but the problem was, she made me sound, like I knew more than what I do. And so the people were kind of looking for more than what I gave them, maybe. But in any case, we brought out these scriptures, and I didn't want to take over from the person who was chairing the meeting. So I tried to hold back. But when I could, I did. And I tried to give everybody a chance. And so, as it turns out, they liked what we said. And they could see that we were speaking with the authority of the scriptures, which they wanted to hear. And so they all liked it. And Rose wrote me back and said, we all really enjoyed you being there. Can you come back? And I said, sure. So we're going to meet next Saturday. Guess what the topics are? Topics are, the coming of Christ, number one, and that's just a small topic, right? And they want to talk about purgatory. And then there was something else they wanted to talk about, probably on Israel or something like that. I don't know. but they get into these topics. It should take a whole like 2 hours, and they try to stuff too much in a little bit of time. Nevertheless, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to witness the truth to these people that seem to be searching for the truth. I mean, the questions were genuine that were coming from these people on Zoom, and they didn't say, or I didn't get anything back from the chairperson that said, "Hey, Larry, thanks for coming, but we can see you think differently, and we really would be happy if you didn't come back." I mean, they didn't say that yet, so we'll see. But I ask an interest in your prayers for the wisdom of Solomon to know how to work with this group. If there's somebody there that he wants us to give and share the truth with, to find, as we know we're still in the harvest. So maybe there's somebody there that really wants to hear the word of God. So I ask an interest in your prayers along those lines, and that we can be faithful to our commission in Isaiah 61, and hopefully in some way be a blessing to them with the Lord's word. And so anyways, I'll just share that so the people have time to have testimonies. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for jumping in, and you landed on your feet.
Good.
So the next one is somebody that I've known of all her life, even if she hasn't known me all my life, and that is my good niece, Lori Christensen, Joanna Christensen, with Lori Flynn.
It's going to be Lori this time. But I said, let everybody. Hi, Brother Jim. And your brother and I am very much in the convention. And I just want to testify to that. Maybe that here in the Northwest, we had, maybe if you've heard that in the Northwest, we had what was called a bomb cyclone. Went to last Tuesday, and it was
Lori, is
yes.
it possible to get closer to the microphone?
Yes. Hi, can you hear me now?
Better.
Nobody's ever told me to talk louder before. yes, we had a bomb cyclone here in the Northwest. And it was a terrible wind and rainstorm. And our power went out. This was last Tuesday. And was really something. And I don't know why, but Paul and I chose to spend 2 nights at home. It was cold and dark. And then we came to our senses and we came to Joanna's house. And we've been here the last 2 nights. And we're so grateful for her. We're so thankful that the Lord has given her to us as our sister-in-law, my sister in the truth. And she's here for us. Her hospitality is wonderful. Paul and I made a trip home yesterday to pick up a few things. We're only 20 minutes away from Joanna's house. And we got to talking about how we could see the Lord's blessings even in this experience. And so I really enjoyed that, talking to Paul about all the ways we could see God's hand in what we were going through. So that's all I wanted to share that with you and to let you know that we're safe. And thanks to Joanna, we're warm and we have water, warm water and lights, and so we just praise God for his goodness to us. And I'm glad to be here with all of you. And I guess that's all. May the Lord bless all of you. And thank you again for the convention. It's good to be with you.
And thank you. Thank you for sharing your experience. And I admitted that maybe, well, having heard about that storm, maybe that blew you all away there. But it just goes to show we do have need of one another. And so to the extent that we can, we'd like to be there for one another. Thank you for sharing your experience. And now, Brother Drake.
Yeah, hi, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to be with your testimony meeting convention and the testimonies and the discussion we had. It seems like it's a special lesson for me from the Lord about how he uses his messengers and providences in our life. That was a very nice thought, and I just am very thankful for the Lord's exact timeliness and overruling in my life, which is a busy life. But I find the more I think about him directly, I don't have to worry, or I just do my stuff and all these things come up. Like, I like how that verse, I just thought of, we just read around it in Acts 2:34, and I would give that to Brother Larry as a little special, powerful verse to present to his witness friends. And that's, for David ascended not into the heavens, but he saith to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, etc. So what does that mean? You would ask them. And I think they will have to em start to embrace our divine plan when you present that to him, because it doesn't fit into the typical falseness of the nominal church, which we covered a little bit on our Tuesday, on our Monday study, didn't we, Brother Larry? And we were studying Luke 4. And it doesn't fit it because there is no immortality of the soul and there is no burning hell. So they're going to have to embrace the beautiful truth. And I don't know, I just found it very beautiful, this coming to me lately. And last night I was with the Oakland Bible students, have a fifth volume study, and this scripture came up too. I thought that was very good. So I wanted to thank the Lord for that, and thank the Lord for his direct overruling despite unexpected things, or sometimes difficult things. But I find the more I look for his exact overruling and directions, the bigger blessing I get. So, and again, I've enjoyed the different studies with the Orlando class and any other classes I can meet with. And it's a lovely day here in Florida, also in Northwest Florida. We're about 20 degrees in the last few days, less than our normal hot Florida self. And I enjoy that. But anyways, may the Lord bless you all. Over.
Thank you. And I guess you had your experiences with the wind too, although the worst of it, I guess, was between you and Orlando.
That is correct. That's it. Matthew, what is it? Matthew 4:23 or 8:23, where the Lord gives me my Florida life times where, he wants us to realize he's in control of the exact details of the weather, just like when he was napping in the back of the ship that he was with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. But and they all panicked, and he told them, don't panic. And that's an interesting experience that I get in Florida, because we've had a few hurricanes this year, and none of them hit us directly, and none of them, terribly injured any brethren. So we're very thankful. But it does give us a sort of a natural fundamental reliance and faith in the Lord. And we thank him for that. Over.
You remind me of some in Florida saying that our state flag is the blue plastic.
Yeah.
So thank you for your testimony. I remember you from being from Detroit.
Yes, thank you. I remember you.
And now I think Brother Todd Alexander is next.
Hey, brother, and it's great to be with you today. I was inspired by the testimonies thus far, especially Brother Larry's testimony about following up with people. I wanted to share an experience. Sometimes the brethren that are feel they are less capable of sharing the truth are some of the most important angels from God. So I would like to encourage you to spread a word wherever you can and to whoever you can. Perfect example is my wife, Marilyn. I seem to have been given all of the extroversion in our marriage, and she's been given all of the introversion. A neighbor two doors down asked to go for a walk with Marilyn about a few months ago. And so their walk was an hour and a half. They walked all over the place, and she started asking Marilyn about questions. We have a sign that we stand with Israel in our front yard, and it creates interest, I think, in people, sometimes good and sometimes bad. But anyway, the conversation hit our faith really fast, and Marilyn was so excited when she came home. She just couldn't, she almost was jumping out of her skin. So anyway, she invited her to come on over to our house. So we've had three or four studies with this woman, and she's such a blessing. She doesn't ever want to come to meetings because she's had such bad experiences with people and churches. But she believes a lot like we do. And we're opening up the scriptures to her, the Abrahamic promise that Brother Larry was talking about through all the holy prophets. She doesn't believe in the immortal soul or the Trinity or hell. And it's just really been great. So anyway, my point is this. There's a scripture that I'd like to share with you. It's in Isaiah 28, and it says in verse 11, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people." And I think that God will reach out and teach his people important presentations of the truth, even though they're imperfect. So whatever you can do, do it, and do it with all your might, because God might be just putting you in the position to be somebody's angel. God bless you.
And thank you, Brother Todd. There's opportunity for more now, but I'll just mention on that scripture that with stammering lips, that the difference between Hebrew and Greek, the pronounced difference is that Hebrew is a language for explaining things. They call it an expository language. But Greek is an argumentative language. And so it has all these participial phrases that break it up. And perhaps that's what's suggested by the stammering lips. And while we're waiting for the next one, I might mention, Larry, that I am not the greatest one for witnessing. I don't do the best. There are many who do better than I, and you are among them. But in 55 years at the county fair, what I found did better was to start with the positive, some positive, rather than what I don't believe. They sometimes start out with something like, do you believe in the Trinity? And I used to say, well, I believe in God, but I do not believe it is a Trinity. Maybe one out of 10 would continue to talk with us. I found that what works better is to say, is there a scripture that says that you must believe that God is a Trinity in order to be a Christian? And then just stand back and wait for them to answer. And I got about 50% success with that. And several afterwards shook my hand and left on good terms. And now I think Brother David Rice is next. Brother Drake, is your hand up again? Brother David, go ahead.
Well, Brother Jim and dear brethren, glad to be with you all. I appreciated the services. I've listened to all of them today, and some really engaged my attention and then also my conscience. Brother Jim, you mentioned about that good advice. I remember Michael Nicora told me once, don't tell people what's wrong, just tell them what's right. And we have the opportunity to speak to a lot of people in Africa by Zoom, and we try to keep that in mind. I never start by telling them all the things that Christians think that are wrong. But, you know, after some weeks of being with them and talking about the kingdom, they finally bring the other subjects up. And by that time, they're ready to listen. And, you know, we don't seem to have any problems. So I've referred many brethren to that advice and told them where I got it. And I've been very helpful. I don't remember who the brother was. I think I do, but I'm not sure. But he was with Brother Larry McClellan, maybe on a train. Brother Larry, did you take a train trips with other brethren when you were young? I'm not sure. Anyway, he said...
Tom Gilbert.
Tom Gilbert? Okay.
Yeah.
he said, whoever it was, all of a sudden we're on the train and Larry gets up and he hands me a group of tracts and says, you take this side, I'll take that side. I thought, okay, now that's a bold move. I've always appreciated Brother Larry's earnestness for witnessing. It's very encouraging to us who don't have quite the same courage, let's put it that way. 2 months ago, I got an email that was unexpected. It's from Africa. It's from Rwanda. Now, I know Rwanda is that country that suffered tribal conflict some decades ago. Really, really terrible conflict. I think it was in the time President Clinton was president. And it was devastating. There are some people that have an interest in the truth in Rwanda, because I know because I've asked brethren in Kenya. And there may be other brethren in America that have some context there. Anyway, I got this email. It was from a lady. Name is Bridget. And she said, I found your website on the internet. Now, this doesn't happen very often in Africa where somebody says, I just saw your website. But all the things she told me about it made sense. My father used to use an expression, a title, Faith Builders Fellowship, and we picked that up after him. And we wrote a 4-page, we reduced it to a 2-page explanation of the kingdom and our hopes and the heavenly calling. And it's been on there. And anyway, she found it. So she emailed and said, I emailed first Faith Builders Fellowship, and that website, that the email is not working. She's right. I haven't used it in years. So she finally got hold of me, and then she also mentioned the Dawn. So apparently she got hold of Bible students and be able to, anyway, make a long story short. I sent her a 2-page brochure about the kingdom. She printed it, 200 of them, and she went out and preached somewhere. Now, my wife told me later, women shouldn't be doing that. But I reminded her, you know, was it Philip has had 4 daughters and they did prophesy, that is preach. So they went out and preached. So she printed another 300 and preached to another group. And then amazingly, she didn't ask a penny from me. She just said she paid for it and did it. And she's got her results. So I started to get other people emailing me from Rwanda that got the message through her. So far, I've had 4 emails from Rwanda based on her work. Now, you know, I've had experiences before where things have not been honest with Africa. So I'm suspicious. So I went on the internet and I checked their emails and figured out how to do it. And I found out, yeah, they all are from Rwanda. And the thing she said does indicate that she did find the piece. So I said, okay, then you need more. I said, I'll pay you, print 1,000 more of those, and I'll pay you for them. I'll reimburse you. So she did. She went out and preached to 2 more groups. And now I'm getting letters from pastors who says, we need now more of these, because now as a pastor, I have 2 congregations I need to speak to. So anyway, you know, it's kind of interesting. We tried our best to try to stimulate interest. This is very different. Interest is coming our way and we're trying to respond to it. So I'm very thankful. I hope that it works out well. In Africa, you have people that are just very receptive when they hear something good about Christianity. I know John Harris, and I know Joe Dolan and many other brethren that are involved with there, and Larry Davis, and it's productive. And I just feel like sometimes I haven't been as good in nourishing that productivity. But by the Lord's grace, I'm glad something has happened, and we hope it goes well. Thank you. Lord bless you.
And thank you for that wonderful testimony. I'm reminded that Africa is the one continent where Christianity is expanding. Now, I do recall that it's difficult for us sometimes to adjust, but when I came to Nigeria, that would be, 1973, I think it was, that things were different there, and it was a little difficult to adjust. And I was told, if you want to teach the adults, you don't go and teach the adults. You teach the children, and the children go home and teach the adults. The reason is they didn't have a universal ability to read and write. So the children were all being taught to read and write, and then they would go home to their parents and teach them how to do it. And so it worked better for preaching the gospel. First you teach the youth, and then they go home and they teach it to the parents and the grandparents. And who would like to be next? I will mention another scripture, and that would be in Acts chapter 20. We'll have verses 20 and 21, and then 24. I shrank not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 24, I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself, that I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And good, I see Sister Donna Mitchum will be next.
Thank you, Brother Jim. I have appreciated the convention. Now you don't have to teach like that. It's a lot of us sisters that are involved in the sisters' meetings, and it's a beautiful thing. Me and Sister Karen Gretchel just started a new one about maybe 4 months ago in Kenya. And the sisters really appreciate it, and we're thankful. Now, we've been doing sisters meetings, though, for the last 4 to 5 years. But this is a new one that we have in Kenya. I ask that you keep us in prayer, that it would go according to the Lord's will, and that we will be able to be patient. And they speak very good English now, so it is not a problem. And I thank the Lord for that. Even the one in Cameroon, we have a translator, and it is so great to have one. And it is nothing but a blessing to be able to witness to those. And I had a party, a birthday party, and I was telling the brethren in San Diego that since it was my party, I gave away a goodie bag, and in the goodie bag, I witnessed to everyone, and I thought they would say something, but everybody had nothing but positive to say. Said, Donna, this is what we thought you would do. I ask you to keep me in prayer, brethren, as I keep you all in prayer, and I love you. God bless, Brother Jim.
And thank you for that, and I might mention, originally, Cameroon was a German colony. And when Cameroon was after the war, Germany had lost, then it was divided between English and French. So they've had to adjust to quite a lot of changes in language. And yes, Brother David.
Oh, just a quick addition. I'm sorry, I should have said. There, we do have, Sister Donna Renfro brought this to my attention. We do have groups in Africa that are asking for Zoom services weekly. So let me just publicly say, any brother that would be interested in leading a Zoom service to a new group in Africa who really wants to hear the truth, we would love to hear from you. Thank you.
And thank you. We have time for about two more testimonies, and time is running out. So let's hear from Brother Len Grace.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Jim and I are somewhat related through marriage and about four generations, so, but I claim to have any brains I have come from my relationship to Brother Jim. I want to take a minute because this is the first testimony meeting I realize I've had since I was kind of out of commission for a while. I just say to everyone, I appreciate all the prayers and everything on my behalf during the time I was out with the heart surgery. And I'm doing great. I was able to actually have another surgery that I needed to have, and that was last week. So it's wonderful to be able to have replacements and repairs. It'd be wonderful when those don't have to happen anymore for a lot of people I know. But the witness thing, I wanted to just mention one thing. We have a real coach, a witness coach in the Phoenix class by the name of Bill Bender. And Bill just really, he's on fire for witnessing, and he's kicking everybody else in the back end to do the same thing. But over the summer, because we didn't travel much, we were around a lot and doing a few things around the area here. You're at Costco one day, sat in the, most people have a hot dog afterwards because it's $1.25 for a hot dog and a Coke. But we're sitting there, and next to us, there's a guy dressed in a really nice suit. And he was talking for a while. When people got up and left, he said, "I'll take care of your stuff. I'll pick it up." And he took care of everything, cleaned everything up, and he sat back down. I said, "Interesting." I said, "Really nice of you to do that." And I said, "You come here often?" He says, "Well, yeah, since my wife died, I come here every week." And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "He said, you two look like you've been together a long time." I said, "Yeah, 52 years." And he said, "Well, I was with my wife. We were married for 51 years or something like that." And he says, "The man who married us talked about this was forever." Well, that would ring a bell with most of us and the Bible students. The man who married us, only a Mormon would say that. So I said, "Are you Mormon?" And he said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Oh, interesting." So I said, "Well, we'll have a conversation." We started talking. And we talked about a number of things. And finally, he said, "Would you like to?" I said, "I'd like to continue this. We've got to go, but I'll give you my email. Would you like to just have discussions by email?" Because he was obviously a long-term Mormon who was very high up. And so we did. We continued these things for maybe a month or so. And I said, "As long as we can talk about scripture." Well, we got to the point where he started sending me scriptures from the Book of Mormon to prove his points. And I told him, I said, "I don't accept the Book of Mormon as canon scripture." And he comes back with the, "Well, we got to pray about it. You got to do this." Anyways, long story short, I said, "Reed, I've really enjoyed these discussions with you, but if you won't confine our discussions to proving things by scripture, I think we're at a dead end." And I said, "Lord bless you." He was very kind and went off. And he said, "If you ever want to do this," he says, and he says, "I'll send you some stuff." And I said, "Fine, thank you." But Yeah, that was an interesting one. It's the longest, almost the longest one we had with Mormons from the time Gretchen and I first got married, when we had a 3-month ongoing home study with them and found out exactly what was believed. Anyways, it is a good thing for us to continue to look for opportunities to witness. And Bill would challenge all of you. He says, if you go a week without finding one, something's wrong with you. And his whole objective, make sure you have your little tracks with you on the blessings. I think everybody at the park has one for us. And so, but you never know. We have a lot of witnesses we run into there all the time, and I spend time talking with them every week. And they have gotten to research Pastor Russell, but we never got past that point. She's a very nice girl. She gives Gunther treats every day, but when we got on, the only thing she did that I've never seen a witness do, she actually went on and researched Pastor Russell's will and found out that he didn't leave the watchtower to the witnesses, that it was usurped. And so, interesting discussions with her, but now we haven't had much to go. So, anyways, time's up. Thank you, Brother Jim. And again, I appreciate all the prayers and cards and thoughts from the brethren for this last summer. May the Lord continue to bless all of you.
Thank you. I might just mention that within the past couple of years, Rudd Pearson in Sweden has come out with the book Rutherford's Coup, which thoroughly documents what happened when Brother Russell died. And by the way, you remind me of a sign I once saw. Try God's heart transplant, it lasts a lifetime.
I'm working on
So, Brother Keith, back to you.
Okay.